Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Appreciate you, saints, tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer while we sense His presence so close to us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to You, Lord. And we are so thankful, Father, as we are gathered together with saints of like precious faith. Lord, we don't look to human foibles and weakness and anything like that, O God. We are so thankful, Lord, it isn't by the machination of men, Lord, but we have this divine promise that You promised in Your Word. You said, You which begun a good work, Lord, shall finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, and You even ordained the foolishness of preaching. Imagine that, Lord. Father, we know this. We know that You make Yourself strong in those that are weak, and mighty, Lord, in those who have no strength, Father. We just want to confess tonight, Lord, that our eyes are on Thee. And through You, Lord, we can do all things who strengthen us. Help each one here tonight, Lord, I pray, oh God, You just touch each one that is here. Pray, Lord, that You help us all just set everything aside. We pray, Lord, that You would just move in a mighty way tonight, Lord. We don't want to have any preconceptions of anything, Father. We really want You to have Your way. So take control, Father, we pray tonight. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Appreciate you, saints, very much. Thank you for just that nice, warm, inviting atmosphere. I really do sense His presence. And God is very sovereign. And if it pleases the Lord to meet with us tonight, we will be very pleased indeed. Amen. Thankful that. Appreciate your ministry to us, you musicians. You're a great blessing. Thank you so much. Amen. While I have you standing, and grab your Bibles and let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. We certainly want to remember, and I was not here for the prayer request, so I apologize. A lot of things going on. I just want to remember Brother Don and Sister Mary, who were down in South Carolina visiting Brother Jason, Sister Amy. So let's keep them in prayer. Amen. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. And He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." John 7:38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen. Amen. And one more Scripture, John 4. Of course, there's a woman, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word will absolutely do what You said it will, because You promised it, O God.
please, Lord, break to us the bread of life. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I am certainly glad for the grace of God. I'm certainly glad for what He's doing. You know, you think of Brother Branham said, he said if he could live in any age, you know, and maybe right now where you're sitting, that might be kind of hard to imagine, to be able to live in any age. And he said, I'd pick this age right here, you know. You know, you think about the time, you know, being on the shores of Galilee or Jesus up there preaching on the mountains, you know, that would be pretty tough. You know, to not live back there and to see Jesus, or just, you know, see the many other things that are going on. But in truth, we have a great privilege spread before us right now to see the Word of God manifested like it's never been done before. And if you can receive it, it's going to be done through us by His grace. Amen. 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 Brother Branham said in Marriage and Divorce, he said, and now that the seals are open, the Spirit of Truth directs us to the Word. You've heard that before. The Word, sometimes you hear it and it's so emphasized over and over, it loses its meaning to us, but it really shouldn't. The Word of God is sharper, it's powerful than any two-edged sword. You think about what the Word of God does. Amen? And you think that whenever there's anything, any sickness, anything that happens, it's because the Word of God is perverted. Anytime that you want to diminish the strength of God in your life, you diminish His Word. See, and that'll cause it to be ineffectual in your life. And so when the seals were opened up, the Word was not diminished. On the contrary, it was emphasized. He directs us to the Word. And this also is in balance of how the Pentecostal movement, when it started out in the 1900s, there were great signs and wonders, and we're familiar with those. And bear with me if I just rehearse a little bit of that. You're familiar with these things. You're familiar with how it was when the Pentecostal started out. Sovereign move of God. God was sovereign, totally, completely the move of God doing something that nobody imagined would happen. It just, people were gathered there in Azusa Street and the power of God came down and they began speaking in tongues. It was prophesying, a real evident move of God. And it wasn't just a verbal expression, it was really the power of the presence of God came down there. And it was sovereign. Again, it wasn't anything that they themselves had conjured up. I can't stress that enough. It was a sovereign move of God. God is sovereign. Amen. And He's still sovereign tonight, right? And if the Lord is going to do, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, or if let me just put it this way, if God is going to do anything in us, it'll be Him doing it. Okay? Amen? I mean, that's very obvious. It stands on its own. But the Pentecostals, they got to the place where they were so emphasizing the manifestation. And it would have been fine if they left God to do the manifesting. But a carnality came out with it. Spirits came in there too. And that's what the devil does, right? He perverts everything. Yeah. You want a sensation? I'll give you a sensation, right? Yeah. You want a manifestation? I'll give you a manifestation. And pretty soon, you had oil coming out of their hands, blood coming out of their hands, their forehead. People were, if you're real spiritual, you get down all fours and bark like a dog. There's actually a church like that. The truth, I'm not lying. That's more spiritual you are, you get down on the floor, you bark like a dog. See, it's not, doesn't matter that it's not scriptural. It doesn't matter. See, anything goes. And that's what the devil does. If he can't pull you, he'll push you. Right? If he can't push you, he'll pull you. Anything to keep you off the Word of God to keep you balanced. And as He did Eve, He'll do anything to get you off the Word of God. Amen? Here's what Brother Branham says. I am a fundamentalist. Everything must come from Scripture. I'm holding up the Bible here. Scripture. Amen? He says, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't believe it, but I wouldn't understand it just right if it wasn't from the Scripture. And if any time during the time of the phenomenal part of the healing service, if any person whatsoever you belong to, what church, if you see anything that's questioned that we do here, that it's not in the Scripture, you come to me because I certainly want to stay right in this book because this is the foundation. All Scripture and all operation of the Holy Spirit must come from the Bible, then I believe it. Amen? I want to take this time to greet those online. Okay, Brother Ron, Sister Pam, Brother Jesse, Brother Paul Thompson. I know you've already acknowledged them, but and Brother Daniel's family. God bless you all. Sure glad you could join us tonight. Amen. You're staying warm right where you are. But we're warm here too, so we're grateful to the Lord. Amen. So everything, and I was just listening to where Brother Branham, he talks about the fantastics or things that take place. He says, if it doesn't come right from the Word of God, he says, I don't receive it. I don't receive it. See? So that isn't to say that it is the Word only. Okay? As Paul wrote, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They manifested in the power of God, but it was always according to the Word of God. The two of them absolutely together. Not in word only, but in power. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay? This is very key. We're going through a process here. We're going through a training. Where are all the miracles? Okay? God is not diminished in power whatsoever. I believe that. Amen. We've experienced the power of God. Just a little bit taste, a little bit things here, you know, little things that we see God do, how He manifests Himself. And I'm sure, you know, I've got some examples in my life, and I'm sure you've got examples in your life. God, He is the same. His power is the same. Okay? All right? We have one reason that we are here on this earth, and that reason is God put us here, and He put us here for a reason, and that His Word would get tested, and get tested in us. So we are on trial tonight, if you would. All of us are on trial tonight. Amen? And don't get downhearted about that. You will overcome, because God promised in His Word that you would. He says, amen. If you faint not, do not faint. Do not faint. So, Brother Branham goes on to say, and how it is tonight that sometimes things happen, and it just equal up to what our church teaches, then we want to throw it out. But you know, the thing we ought to do sensibly is look at it in the light of the Scripture. Now, I believe every Bible teaching or every church and every revelation, everything must be built on this Word. If anybody teaches anything contrary to the Word, I wouldn't believe it. This Bible is God's foundation, and there is no other foundation that can be laid but was already laid, Christ Jesus. It's Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, day, and forever. You know something? If you took everything that Brother Branham said and you brought it back to the Word of God, brought it right back here, you would never stumble. Okay? What did Brother Branham say? This is our absolute right here. This is our absolute. Okay? Brother Branham, even. Let me just share this quote with you. Well, the one thing, Brother Branham, What if you were just compromising a little of that doctrine you have? Every organization would receive you. I see right then. I thought, oh, what is this? What doctrine, sister? Oh, that baptism in Jesus' name. Oh, I said, but sister, you wouldn't expect me to compromise on the word of God and still be a servant of God. And said, well, there's a bunch of ministers that I'm here to represent out of this big city. Said, if you will tell them that the angel of the Lord gives you these visions, told you to baptize in Jesus' name, then they're willing to accept it. Okay? Well, said, their experience is weaker than dishwater. I says, I don't care what any angel would say. If it ain't according to the word, I don't believe it. Okay? If that angel told you something different from that, I wouldn't believe the angel. Okay? And anything else, a true angel, I said, he didn't tell me that. If he didn't tell me that, I wouldn't believe him. So even Brother Branham took the angel that appeared to him, right? And everything was judged according to the word of God. God won't ever ask you to believe something contrary to his word. You can tell the source, no matter what the manifestation, if it doesn't cotton, doesn't stick to this word, then you know it's the wrong source. Right? Amen. If Joseph Smith would have done that, he wouldn't have believed that apparition that came to him. Remember what he saw, a vision. The Father, the Son, right alongside, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. See? No man has seen God at any time. Right? Yeah. Amen. Okay. Now here's the thing. We're sitting right here tonight. Okay? We don't see a lot of the manifestation that we certainly had in Brother Branham's day. Okay? God is not diminished in his power. Okay? The problem is not with the Lord. Do we have something to bear in that? I would say yes. But still, the sovereignty of Almighty God, he has a way of getting his people in shape. Amen? According to the message, we are promised that there is going to be a manifestation of the third pull. The Bible says that the whole world is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's a promise in his word, and it's going to happen, right? Amen. It's going to happen. Until then, we must not get dry in our experience. We must not at all neglect our spiritual thirst. Amen. We can ignore the pull in our soul and feed the flesh. And as you do that, it diminishes your thirst for God. It does. Whichever dog you feed, that's the dog that gets stronger. That's the principle, right? Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, try to quench that blessed thing of thirst by trying to satisfy with drinking and smoking and television and running around and carrying out and reveling around, trying to satisfy that godly thing that God put in you to thirst for him. You are polluting the fountain that God has placed in you to receive his spirit, and you're drowning it with the things of the world. And they do not satisfy. They never will satisfy. Aren't you glad you've got something inside of you that the only thing that'll satisfy it is God? God is the only thing that can satisfy that thirst. And the only time that you or I really feel good is when we get into his word and we know that we are walking in obedience to it. That's when we feel like we're complete. Amen? Amen. That's when we feel, we sense that. Amen. We can neglect the spiritual thirst and allow worldliness to creep into our experience. Ephesians 2:3 states, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let me say that again. We had a conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Take that one out just by itself. Filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I don't know about you, but to me that can hit kind of home, you know, pretty close. Even today, claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, loving the Word of God, but you let your guard down, and sometimes it's a whole lot easier to pick something other reading up other than the Word of God, right? You got to push your way through it. Why is that? Is it because the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit? We're in a battle. That's just all there is to it. We're in a battle, and it'll always be that way. And as we yield ourselves more to the Spirit, then the flesh subsides. If we yield ourselves more to the flesh, then we've got to, it's much harder to get in the Spirit. It's much more difficult. We've got to put it down. The flesh rises up. I can't take it. Why? It's so used to getting satisfied, and it wants its fix. We need to starve the flesh. We need to diminish it. 1 John 2:15, you're familiar with this. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say that God doesn't love him. That's not what the Scripture says. It just says that the love of God is not inside of him. There's worldliness there. If you had the love of God inside of there, to the degree that it should be, that worldliness, the love for the world wouldn't be there. And that's what the Scripture is saying. You know, we can get to a place where we can get past feeling. Spiritual amnesia sets in. And you forget you were washed. You forget who you are, son and daughter of God. You can lose your zeal. It's a condition of this age. It's a condition of this age. It's absolutely a condition of this age. You can see why on the other side, we get there, they're going to be amazed. You're in Laodicea. How in the world did you ever get through that? Life, you think life is a struggle now. You should have seen it years ago. Life was really a struggle. We've got it so easy now. So incredibly easy. Brother Derek's not here, but I was going to relate something that he might appreciate. You know, during World War II, when the Americans finally got into the war and they went up into the North African part, Eisenhower was actually over everything. And he went out in the field and he looked at the British. And he noticed after they were done with the conflict that they got together again and they started training. They started honing their skill, how they can do better the next time. They were in better shape. They were in better stamina than the Americans were. And even the French, they were in there the Vichy French. They were occupying in Africa, and of course the Allies coming in there to free them. They were in better shape than the Americans. What did the Americans do? They'd always stick to the road. They wouldn't, you know, get out, and the planes would come right overhead, and then, of course they'd have to dive into the ditches and, you know, they just kind of huddled together where it's easy, you know. The Americans liked it easy. That's kind of what they were conditioned for. Eisenhower was aghast. After the battle went on, the boys went on to town to, you know, have a beer. See, they were soft. They were soft. Later on, as the war developed, they were much hardened and they grew into the soldiers that they needed to be, but it was an eye-opener. They had to learn what being in a battle was and what it took to be a good soldier. And I believe, too, here, we need to hone our skills to know what it is to be a real soldier of Christ, how to engage in the spiritual battle the way the Lord wants us to do it. The spiritual amnesia can cloud our eyes, cause us to not really see things the way that they are. If we saw things the way that they are, where they were, I believe we would take it a whole lot more serious. Amen. So, it's a condition of this age, Laodicea, softness, neither hot nor cold. And this condition is what the Bible says sickens God, right? And not only that, you lose your thirst. You know, there's actually a physical condition. It's called adipsia or hydrodipsia. It's a rare disorder characterized by the lack of thirst, even in the presence of dehydration. People are thirsty and they don't know it. People with adipsia have little or no sensation of thirst when they become dehydrated. I believe that there's a lot of people going around with that condition spiritually. They're thirsty and they don't even know they're thirsty. Or they have something else. They, you know, reach for something else to satisfy the flesh. The flesh cries out whenever the spirit makes a little bit whimper. The flesh says, I'm thirsty. I'm this. It's the flesh that responds to that spirit call. You need to strengthen the spirit, suppress the flesh, so that the spirit can again begin to drink. Now, you know, look at a sponge, kids. You know this too. Let me ask you, kids. What absorbs more readily? A dry sponge or a damp sponge? What soaks up water quicker? A wet sponge or a dry, or a damp sponge or a dry one? A what? A damp one. That is correct. A damp sponge. We all know that. A damp sponge will actually absorb much more readily than a dry one will be, right? So a sponge left out of water for a duration becomes dried up and it loses its ability to absorb liquids. And someone left out of the Word of God sufficient time loses his taste for God's Word. The soul shrinks in its capacity to appreciate and love God and receive of God. You become, again, servants to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You become blinded to your ability to discern God's hand and cannot see afar off. You can't discern. You're blinded. A lot of things are going on in the spiritual and you can't see it. Think about that. 2 Peter 1:9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and is forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Why? The flesh desires become resurrected again in your life and you become stunted in your spiritual growth. So how do you restore a sponge? Well, it's quite simple. You just place that dried sponge and you place it in contact with sufficient enough water. You just leave it there until it begins to have that restorative, absorbent quality. Okay? Amen. Same thing spiritually, right? If you've been out of the Word of God so long that you don't hunger and thirst for it, the remedy is simple. First repent. Then get into God's Word and pray. Seek God with all of your heart. Cry out to Him. The Lord always hears a desperate cry. Cry out and mean it. Not, that's been 3 minutes, you know. I don't mean to be funny, but I mean if you're really serious to do business with God, then God is serious to answer your call. Amen. Get into God's Word and pray as David did for God to restore your soul until you once again relish spiritual things. Amen? John Wesley once asked her mother how she defined sin. Here's what she said. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, takes off your relish for spiritual things, whatever increases the authority of the body over the mind, that thing is sin to you, however innocent it may seem in itself. It's pretty astounding. She had quite an insight there. She was a wise and godly woman. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, it says you're blessed. In other words, if I read that right, this isn't something that we ourselves do. God has got to put that hunger and thirst inside of us. Now, we can respond incorrectly and diminish it. Now, listen, you do have control of that. To a degree. You do have control over that. Now, think about this. When Peter was asked, "Lord, if that be you on the water, bid me come." Jesus bid him come. And he came. He stepped out on the water and he was walking on the water. It was God's will for Peter to walk on water. It was God's will for him to walk on the water. So why did he start sinking then if it was God's will for him to walk on the water? Don't you think about that? See, it's a sin to doubt. It's a don't doubt, don't disbelieve. Like Jesus, when he grabbed a hold of Peter, "Why didst thou doubt?" You had God's blessings, you had God's unction, you're walking in his will. Why did you stumble? Well, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, for starters. Okay, but leave that aside. He was chastised for not holding faith in what Jesus had commanded him to do. We need to hold in faith to what Jesus tells us to do, regardless of what these five senses declare to us. Amen? Amen. God's Word is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's more than able to do above and beyond anything we could ask or think. God's Word is true. We must not be shaken in our faith in God's Word. So even though right now we don't see the miraculous the way that it was in the days of Brother Branham, God's power is not diminished. Okay? I believe that He wants to do more for us. I really do believe that. The thing is, He will do more for us and through us. And I believe the Lord wants us to do greater exploits. The Bible says, "They who put their trust in the Lord shall do exploits." Is that right? I remember, you know, just the importance just of staying in the Word. I remember one time I was working on a project in the backyard. I shared this testimony with you before. My knee was bothering me. It was just aching. I was hobbling around. It was just sore. Why was it sore? I don't know why. It just was. And I was listening to the message. And I was just listening to as Brother Branham was just laying out the Word and just having the faith of what God has done. And just like that, it just raised up the faith in God's Word enough to where all of a sudden, praise God, my knee didn't bother me anymore. You know, that's just a small thing. But again, to help me to know that God's Word is true. And if you have faith in God's Word and don't doubt, that thing will move for you. Amen? Amen. We must always have unshakable faith in God's Word. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful to the Lord. He is so good. Amen. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And see, you're blessed. So it's an outside pressure, okay? It's not you, it's the outside pressure. Blessed are you, okay? Blessed are you to have this hunger and thirst. It is God who draws you. If you feel that hunger and thirst, you're blessed by God. Amen? John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." There isn't any uncertainty in this verse. Amen? Song of Solomon says, "Draw me, and we will run after thee." Well, why don't you just run after him? No, it says, "Draw me, Lord, and I will run after you." Do you ever pray that? "Lord, draw me, and I will run after you." I do. Why? I'm helpless without him. In fact, Brother Branham even says this: anything that we do of our own, it won't amount to anything. You know, he was talking about this one guy here who wanted to give up drinking, and he said, "If I ever take a drink, just hit me in the face." You know? I mean, well, that's really good. And so you've given up drinking there, but what good is that? You know, that doesn't count. See? It's not the absence of something. It's the presence of something. It's not the absence of a habit or a bad habit. It's the presence of Almighty God in the believer's life. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are dependent on Him. Not our goodness, not our righteousness, His. Well, did the psalmist say, Psalm 103, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Aren't you glad for that? It takes all the struggle out of it. Lord, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which you have before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, it's all his work. We are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? It just takes all the pressure off. If you look at it the right way, you know, if you look at it the right way, He bids you come, just like Peter in the boat. Come, walk. It looks impossible. It is impossible, but He bids you come. Regardless of what handicap you see, what obstacles you have in the way, the Lord bids you come. You come anyway. Ignore the obstacles. Ignore the impossibility. Just come and see the water part. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians 3:14. I love reading the Word of God out of the Bible. It's a wonderful thing, and it is such a comfort to me. It's pure. There's nothing here but the Word of God. Well, admittedly, there are some footnotes and so forth. They're supposed to help, but you know. There's no other distraction. It's right here. I love sitting there and reading the Word of God. Now, a disclosure, I'm getting to where I need a little help seeing it. And I don't mean that to be funny. I just Ephesians 3:14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Doesn't that just sound just bequeathed with gratitude, thankfulness, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that I would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, that love, it's beyond human emotions. It's not talking about human emotions here at all. Of course, we understand that, we know that. But this is talking about God's love. And that's, words can't even begin to describe what that is. If you think this is really the essence of God, God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. And all that love that God is was expressed through Christ. And think about that. That's an incredible thing. So Paul continues, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Whoa. Whoa. Amen. That is tremendous. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There you go. See, it's him. It's God that's doing the work. Unto him that is able. He is able. Amen. 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 So let's thirst. Blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are ye. It's a glorious thing that you are hungering and thirst. Let's hunger and thirst. Think about when you get home, what's the first thing that you reach for? Or when you get up in the morning, what's the first thing that you do? Is your mind constantly on the Word of God, or is it everywhere else? Now, understand, believe me, I know, we got responsibilities, we have got a lot of things that are scurrying around us and all. But know this, it is God's will for him to make himself known in all that you do. He wants to be on display in your life and my life. So when you go to work, you're a mechanic, it's God's will for you to work on that car and to do it as unto him, not as unto man with man's service, but as unto God. When you go around driving, you know, Billy Alfred knows, for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. When I'm working with down servers, for the glory of God, and to help, and not to have a bad attitude. I've got a schedule, and you're working away, and you've got all these things at the client site, and all of a sudden, another issue comes up. And not to get a bad attitude. Lord, you told them to put that ticket right there on my big pile of other stuff that I'm not going to get to, you know. But you've got a purpose in that, you know. Regardless of other people that have already looked at it. It's your hand that's going to part the water here, not mine. Have you? Call up the customer. This has happened. Call up the customer. Did a bunch of things. Just checking. I didn't do anything. I'm telling you now. I've just pinged. You know, that doesn't fix anything, does it? I closed the browser. That doesn't fix anything. I did something to find out how it's communicating on the network. That didn't do anything. And all of a sudden she says, oh my, I'm in now. What did you do? Nothing. God. See? God. And I'm just thankful. You know, he sealed my attitude, not to get a bad attitude, but just go with it. There's a reason why it is. So the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use me to glorify him and to realize that we are his agent here in this world. We're in this world. We're not of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's just draw from the Lord. Let's cry out to him. Let's want him to fill every fiber of our being, knowing that he wants to fill us even more than we're even able to ask. I don't know where Brother Branham talked about, you know, that straw, I can't comprehend it, but or that pipe, the 4-inch pipe, all the waters of the world and the pressure that's on the bottom of that pipe is God's desire to fill us. That's quite an analogy. Let it be said, don't try to figure that one out. Just know that God's desire to fill you is greater, and that all we got to do is ask Him to be sincere in our approach to the Lord. Amen. If the musicians could come, please. And we'll just close it, this service. Amen. I appreciate you, Saint, so much. I appreciate your dedication to the Lord. Appreciate just keep lifting one another up. Jesus' final words are love one another. Love one another. Hereby shall men know you're my disciples when you have love one for another. Love one another fervently. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your grace and your goodness to us, O God. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you would, if I could make a suggestion, cause me to come to the river, O Lord. Lord, we just know that your word is true. Oh, God, your word is true. Lord, your word will not come back to you void, but it'll accomplish the thing wherein you have purposed and prosper in the thing wherein you've sent it, Lord. Father, you promised in your word, Lord. Your word. And regardless, no matter how out of shape and how backslid and how wrong your people are, you spanked them. Lord, you carried them away. And in spite of all of that, and you've judged them, Lord. But in a way of correction, Father. And you brought them back. And you said, I will restore, saith the Lord. And you would cause the deserts to weep and to blossom forth, O God. Lord, and so it is. Maybe our earth is a little parched tonight, Lord. Maybe, Lord, we haven't been sitting by the river, Father, that we ought to. Lord, I pray that your mercy and grace, Father, would be upon each one. Lord, you bid Peter come out of the boat. And Lord, you bid us, Father, to draw. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Take my yoke upon yourselves and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, you bid us come, Father. We want to come. Lord, we want to be your vessels, chosen in this last day to reflect your word, to reflect your life. Lord, but in ourselves we can do nothing. It's only by your grace, only by your power, Lord, only by your Spirit. So, Lord, help us tonight, Father, we pray. Grant it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do we know what number that is? Cause me to come to thy river.
cause me to live in thy presence.
Cause me to live in thy presence, O Lord. Cause me to live.
Let's stand to our feet, please.
Does anybody have anything that they want the saints to gather around and to join you in prayer? Anything at all? Amen. Amen. Yes, brother.
I mean, if you need pee, you might.
Up and let's pray for Brother Alfred here. He's got a pain in his chest, you know, pain on his side here. And is this chronic? Do you have this a lot, brother?
Yeah.
He does have this. Comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. He wants to have faith to look at the Word and not the pain. We're going to pray that he can keep his eye on the Word, but we're going to also pray that God take away the cause that's causing or creating that pain. Amen? Amen. Let's come up and let's lay our hands on our dear brother. And let's believe with him, okay? Amen. We would. Let's just pray with him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, O God, even that you are here right now. You said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, there you would be with them, Lord. Father, this is your doings, this is your will, this isn't our creation or our thought. We're just coming, Lord, in obedience, Father, to your word. Father, and we thank you, Father, for the promise of your word. And Brother Alfred is coming by faith, Lord. We have the promise of your word that says, I, the Lord, healeth all, A-L-L, all of thy diseases. And Lord, you're also the great physician. You are more than able to remove this or the cause or whatever it is, O God. We pray right now, Lord, that you speak to that cause, even as we speak to it, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Be with my brother. Increase his faith. May it grow and take care of this issue, we pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? In a word of prayer, if we would, tonight. Brother Derek, could you close tonight?
Oh Lord, you can leave now.